Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It's Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. You've tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. Also follow us on social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life, is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I am excited that you've tuned in today. As you all know, many of you anyways, we reached our 300th episode last week, and it was phenomenal. I was joined by a team of just motivators and movers, and we talked about commitment and what that means, because it takes some commitment to reach 300 episodes or 300 of anything. And so I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about where this show is going now. So if you've been following us on social media, you know we kind of give out little snippets how we're heading in another direction. So instead of being so individually based, we are now focusing on families. We are going to start giving jewels and nuggets and tools that can be used in families to help strengthen the family unit, to help bring families to a state where they are functioning in a positive light. The statistics on families today in America are saddening, to say the least. They're kind of, alarming. But you know what? It matters what the statistics say, but also matters what you say for yourself. Because at the end of the day, you have to make some personal choices. What is it that I want with this gift that I have called life? What am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to give? Because any commitment you make will require something of you. What am I willing to do? And so for 300 episodes, we've encouraged you as an individual to be the best you ever. And now we're saying, hey, we're going to take that switch and we're going to use it on families. And so whether you're a family of one or a family of 101, we're going to make this work and we're going to build a foundation that neighborhoods, communities, organizations, church groups, civil groups, civic groups, can all work towards, like, yes, that's exactly right. And so we're going to be supplemental to those agencies and institutions as well. We're not neglecting the individual. We are only adding to what we're offering. So about 14 years ago, I made a commitment. I was like, okay, at this point in my life, what do I really want? And so I was able to sit down with my then-fiancé, and we had to actually decide. We had to map out. We had to talk about what is it that we want. What are we willing to commit to? What are we willing to do, you know, for ourselves, for our family, for the family we're going to create and build during our lives together? And so at that time, my fiancé and I were pretty much on one accord. We decided that we wanted to get married one time. We were willing to do whatever we had to do to make sure that our children came from a two-parent loving home, and that whatever that meant, you know, we didn't have all the details of what that would look like, but whatever that meant, we were going to try and make that the reality that our children grew up in. Because for me, that wasn't what I grew up in. That wasn't my norm. That wasn't really a social standard where I was. And so with him, similar situation. And so we decided, because we came from, quote-unquote, broken homes or dysfunctional homes or whatever label you want to put on that, that we wanted something different for our children. We grew up in an era where we were watching, you know, family units on TV. We were watching a mom and dad and kids make it work. You know, even with stuff like the Brady Bunch, they made it work. It was family talks and family meetings and family conversation. And if there was a family issue, the two individuals tried to do it. And if they couldn't do it, it became a family situation so that everyone could learn from it. And those were ideas, and it seemed idealistic, but those were the ideas and principles that we wanted, you know, the foundation put in place. We wanted to make sure that, you know, at the end and the beginning of the day, we were acting out of love And so we'd have to talk about stuff in advance, and we'd have to say, well, what if this happened? What if that happened? And we actually had to have conversations of stuff that we never, ever, ever wanted to happen, but we had the conversations in advance because that's what we were taught in premarital counseling, to have those conversations in advance because you just never know the curve will throw at you. Now, mind you, we tried to map out, you know, some idealistic stuff, some fairy tale stuff, but within 6 months of being married, everything that we thought we were mapping out changed on a dime. Back-to-back car accidents. Well, yeah, back-to-back car accidents. I was in one, he was in two. Savings gone. Yeah, just ideals that we had just changed instantly. And so are you able to ebb and flow with that? Were we able to, you know, move forward in spite of, okay, so it doesn't look just like the vision board, but the foundation is still there, the desire is still there. And so here we are 12 years after the marriage date, still in the trenches, despite the car accidents, despite negative doctor's reports, despite what the statistics say, despite how we feel at times, despite, you know, okay, I'll say me, it's despite my selfishness, despite, you know, those things that statistically tear families and marriages apart, we're still together. And I'm not saying that, you know, to kudos, ooh, pat on our back, look, we did it. I'm saying it because it's possible, and people need to know it's possible, that when you are blending a family and creating a family, maybe it's not like the instant cake mix. The directions may not be on the box, but just know you're heading in the right direction. It may not look like the picture that Duncan Hines put out, but it's still a cake. It may not look the way Cosby had his stuff on TV or the way the Brady Bunch was, but you know what? We're heading in that direction, and we're making our own picture. And so far, it's a mosaic, a lot of broken pieces put together, but nonetheless, it is still beautiful. When you look at statistics today on children and families and what that means, we're looking at 40% of married couples with children are in step couples. So there's a step family situation. We look at a third of weddings form step families. Then we look at statistics that say only 46% of marriages are lasting, which means there's 64% that are not lasting. And we look at these odds and these statistics, and we're like, why? And so with our whole family focus, we're going to get to the why, and we're going to get to the where do we go from here. Because a lot of people stand on these platforms of, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this, and never offer solutions and never offer options and opportunities. Like one of my major concerns that I have an issue with is the foster care system. How is it that your government system, how interesting it is that you're so easy and so willing to take and remove a child from a home and give them to someone else and give that person supplemental income to provide for that child. Now, what? Not only supplemental income, but supplemental education to go with that. Now, we all know there's no license. There's no licensing branch of parenting. There's no licensing branch of families. There's no education past middle school and high school that says anything about family training, but yet we have middle schoolers and high schoolers with kids. We have college students with kids. And so we'll say, hey, try to make it the best you can. Good job. Go for it. And then we push them out there, and then something happens or a series of somethings happens, and the parent loses their child, and we put the child in foster care, and then the foster care system is overworked, overloaded, but at the same time we're willing to pay and educate foster parents. What if we educated biological parents? What if we gave them supplemental income, because working two part-time jobs does not pay many people's living expenses? Then with all the companies rearranging and structuring systems today so that people can't have full-time jobs because they don't want to pay for the insurance, or they're unable to pay for the insurance, whatever the case may be, how about that? How about we pour into biological families? How about we pour into teenagers, and we pour into high schools, and we pour into communities? This is a parenting class before it ends up in divorce court. Oh, this is what co-parenting is before we end up in family court. Oh, this is the wages of your actions when you choose to have, when you choose to be stressed out and not deal with your stress. It spills over into your children. What if we did those classes as a preemptive strike? And so that's a lot of the stuff that we're going to be facing and dealing with and actually analyzing on the show. Obviously, society has it wrong. Obviously. Because if society had it right, if we're following society, if society had it right, the children, the headlines wouldn't be as bad as they are. In the city that I live in the city of Indianapolis, the past week, is 14-year-old did this, a 14-year-old did that, a 14-year-old did this, which leading to criminal charges, which leads to what, a life in the system, felony charges, you lose your right to vote. If you get out of prison, what are you going to be able to contribute to society because you went in at 14, and so much stuff is going to change by the time you get out. You may not be able to adapt. What kind of reentry stuff do we have? But even before that, why are there 14-year-olds in headlines for carjacking, for murder, for illegal activity? Why? Oh, we can blame the parents. Okay, well, you could blame the parents, but every situation is not a parental situation alone. It's a worldwide situation. It is a community situation. With it's not, yes, 14-year-olds can be accountable for some of their actions. I got you all day, every day. Cool. Hold them accountable. But what led to this? What is the underlying reason? Why is this child attracted to criminal activity? Why is the child attracted to criminal activity over community activities? Where are the community activities? Where's the funding for the community activities? Where's the funding for the after-school program and the summer program? Where's the funding for that? But we got money to build new prisons because the prisons make more money. How is it that the prison system is getting more money than the education system? Because the prison system is putting more money into corporation pockets. Matter of fact, the prison itself has become a corporation. What if the money was never fully invested into the prison system or not fully funded by these corporations, but the schools were? What if charter schools were backed up the same way that the prisons are backed up? What if we did a little switcheroo? What if NFL and pro sports athletes decide, you know what, I'm going to give back, I'm going to pour back into the community in which I'm playing? Because if you're paying $80-some for my tickets to come see me play, at least I can pour $800,000 into the public school system in the city that I play in. What if people in higher situations took the pay cut that was necessary to make sure that the single parent or the newly married parent had all the supports that they needed in order to be a functioning family? Because many of us were operating without directions, without instructions, without manuals. We're trying to fake it till we make it, and a lot of us fail along the way, and then we're like, oh, well, what do I do now? And so that's exactly why we want to go to what do I do now. When we look back at statistics from the 60s, when we look back at statistics from the 50s, and that was a time when our country was going through a lot of rebellion. Oh, this wasn't right and this wasn't right. But when there were certain institutes or institutions set up as the norm, things were not as bad as they are now. I can definitely say that. I can definitely say that when prayer was in school, I'll say it. I can definitely say that when prayer was in school, the crime rate wasn't as bad. Now, is prayer directly related to crime? No. But having a consistent basis, having some morality behind yourself, having a guide to which you govern your actions by, yes, that is definitely directly related to crime, criminal activity, and the latter. Now, what about when families were together, when you had a mother and a father working together? Oh, not cohabitating, not weekend visits, but together in a home. That also made a difference. But I want this right and I want that right. And every group wanted their own individual rights. And what happened when you get individual rights? You forget the group. You forget the unit. You forget what's working. So we abandoned what was working for the good of the group, and we chose to go on the individual track. And when any house is divided against itself, what happens? It cannot stand. We have people fighting over wars in other countries, never paying attention to the war that was happening right here, never paying attention that stuff was silently seeping in to our school systems, to our children, to our education system, and slowly but steadily pulling money and resources away from the stuff that works. Fine arts works. It keeps them occupied. It helps with their brain activity. It helps them function in society. Oh my gosh, recreation works. PE works. It keeps them physically active. We did not have the obesity issue that we have now because all of this stuff was happening in schools, and it was okay to do double dutch and jump rope and hopscotch and make up games and have laser tag or have freeze tag and have all of these things that you did at school with your friends because that builds you up socially. Oh, my gosh, there was bullying in school then. Yes, and there's bullying now, and it's gotten worse because our kids don't have the ability to read social cues, and they don't have the ability to maintain any sort of sense about themselves because there's no one in the home guiding and directing them. So when they come home from school, they have to be instant adults and babysitters at the same time. So I'm going to turn on the TV, and I'm going to watch whatever show is on. I'm going to let that feed me until my mom can get home at 7 o'clock, and then hopefully I'll have something to eat in the home. But since she's worked 2 and 3 jobs that day, she's going to be too tired to prepare a home-cooked meal. So it's going to be something instant, something quick, something microwaved in radiation, something prepared in a factory, something made with harsh chemicals, but that's all I have to eat. So let me go ahead and eat that because that'll at least give me some nourishment so I can make it back to school the next day. Then we want to charge and tax the parents with more responsibilities. We need you to check the homework, which is a parental responsibility. Yes, we need you to come to the PTA meetings, but we're only going to keep asking you for fundraising, even though we see that your lights and your electricity were just off last week based on the fact that your child came to school looking a hot mess, based upon the fact that you had to leave the house at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the part-time job on the other end of town because no one in your community is hiring because they don't want to pour money into your community. They'd rather pour it into suburbia or somewhere else because your community is lacking and going down. I'm just saying all of these issues have now compounded the situation that we have now and have led to the fact teenagers in the headlines for negative things, for negative criminal behavior, because we've highlighted that criminal life over everything else in society, and it pays them it pays them in the currency of attention. It pays them in the currency of ratings and likes, and we're Facebook fabulous, and we're Instagram junkie, and we're all on Worldstar Hip Hop, and yeah, I'm naming all the names because that's the reality of the situation we're facing. They're seeking attention. Why are we seeking attention outside of the home? Because we're not getting it inside of the home for 432 other reasons. But as a government system and as a country, we will finance people. And we will finance people outside of the parental constraints or outside of the parental role to take care of our children when we could just as easily make and create and develop these programs and finance these programs that are in place that will help the parents to better parent and help the family stay together. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting how if we can talk about the welfare system, but we'll give money to single parents, but we won't give money to married couples? What? Oh, he can't be living in your house with you. Y'all can't cohabitate. Y'all can't live together. Sorry, brain fog. Y'all can't live together and raise your child, but he can live down the road and do whatever he needs to do outside of your home. But if you live together, we'll cut your check. If you live together, that's two incomes. You should be able to survive, but you've never had financial literacy. You don't know the difference between savings and checking, and you don't make enough money to save or check what you're making in the first place. What are we doing? As a society, what message are we really sending? We're having these wonderful children, but we're not able to support them on multiple levels without a village, without a group. And it's been this way for multiple generations. And now is the time that we need to address that head on like a collision. Just crash right into it and say, this is not working. We're going 75 miles per hour in the wrong direction. Stop. It's not working. And why is it not working? Because it's not. At its root core, we are looking to make money over make families. We're looking to make money over to make change. We're looking at making money. Seriously, because if it's not about money, it's not making sense in our society. And prisons make money. New charter schools ask for money. Public schools ask for money. NFL, NBA, FIFA, all of those make money. So we pour into that stuff. But the money they make, how much of that is kicked back to the children who are idolizing them, the children who are looking up to them. I'm not just blaming professional sports or professional athletes. I don't want to ever get on that kick while I'm bashing one group. No, I'm bashing everybody because we all have a part in this. We all have a say in this. We say, oh, you have the right to vote. You have the right to this. Well, go to the community meetings and find out what you're voting for. Go to these situations and these PTA meetings and these school board meetings. Find out who your board members are. Find out what they really represent. Whose agenda are they pushing? Are they pushing education or are they just filling a seat? You need to know these things as an informed parent because you need to know what the real agenda is. And my whole thing is I wait till the dust settles because anyone can get hyped for a day, but after the dust settles, that's when you find out what's really going on. That's when you find out what's really standing, what's the truth behind the situation. I don't jump on any public bandwagon at any first glance. Oh, my gosh, because I can get so caught up in this emotional tidal wave, and that's what they want you to do. They use signs and colors and lights all to get your attention to flash something in front of you. And then, like, 4 or 5 years later, after they're elected, you find out, oh, the real agenda was this. This person was related to the other person, and that's what they were doing. Oh, you scratched my back, I scratched your back. Oh, you got corporate funding. Oh, it was because you decided to vote this down or vote this up or put this bill in front of people instead of having the real issues at hand. And not all politicians get into it for that, and a lot of people start at grassroots levels to do good and to make positive change. It's just that when you get into a corrupt system, the system is greater than the one, and it oftentimes affects you negatively. As much as you try to push against the grain, you can only push but so far. You can only push but so hard being one person. But when we rally together, when we decide that enough is enough and we're not going to take it anymore, enough is enough and communities have to change, enough is enough and funding has to get back into the education system and funding has to go back to families and we can't just take whatever they say. It's just like when you go to the doctor. If the doctor doesn't say something that agrees with you, you have the right to ask for a second opinion. When you have these people on their political platforms and you have these companies that want to build in your neighborhood, don't just look at the financial side of that. Ask for a second opinion. What does this mean long term? What is your long term goal of you coming into this situation? What are you really bringing to the table? Are you really, with your big mega corporation, putting all these mom and pop businesses out of business because now you're on the block? What does that mean for our community? What does that look like? We have to get to the bigger picture. We have to get to the deeper level. And so, yes, we're focusing on family. Yes, we're looking at statistics. Yes, we'll have those guests that's going to help us develop a clearer picture of what it is. But at the same time, the role that you play in your life and your community matters. So you have to get educated and enlightened on these things. You have to go to the necessary meetings and you have to start talking with people who know more than you on these subjects so that you can make informed voting decisions. You can make informed choices. You can make informed choices about what's going on around you that will affect you and your family for generations to come. And so with that's kind of the premise of why we changed our course. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, you guys are still rocking with us on that. We'll still give the inspirational stuff and the motivational stuff to keep you on track. But now we've got a bigger picture. It's not just about the individual. And anytime you need individual support, of course, reach out to us. But no, there's a bigger picture. You are playing on a global scale. And in order for you to get to that global level, you got to start expanding your vision. It's not just about you and your house and your child and your family. We'll give, of course, individual stuff for that. But also look at there's a bigger picture at play here. There's stuff that the media is withholding. There's stuff that they're showing in one way, and it's really something else. There's a twisted scheme of things that's happening all around us, and we're going to start unraveling some of them twists and some of those turns, and we're going to ebb and flow, and we're going to rock with you and let you know what's really out there. You know, what options do you really have? Because if you don't know your rights and you don't know what's available to you, you can't make informed decisions. You can make a decision, but if you don't have the full picture, you don't understand it. That decision you make may not have been for your good. What's a risk? What's the consequence? And are you really willing to take that in order for something better to come along? Individually, in your family, because a lot of us, the family situation, we're going to have to start with the whole forgiveness thing. We're going to have to start with forgiving ourselves. Yes, because you made some choices. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to start forgiving people who did stuff to us, willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, unknowingly, whatever that looks like, and we're going to have to start to release that, because that's the type of stuff that will cloud your vision, that you're seeing, and then affect how you're behaving, then affect what you're doing and the limits you put on yourself based upon your preconceived notions of, and all that is based on a clouded vision because of something you've gone through. So we're going to get to all of that as well, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And your life that's worth living and living out loud can also make a difference. I challenge you to turn your dash into an exclamation mark. That's right. Live out loud and live with a purpose, not just on purpose, but with a purpose. You have some global destiny, global, worldwide, across everything. Across the earth, you have a global destiny, not just a local destiny, not just a familiar destiny, but you have a global destiny. And remember, we talked about this butterfly effect like 2 weeks ago. Even the littlest things that we do can affect something all the way across the world, and we may never know it. But if we're living on purpose and we're living in purpose, then we know that there is a purpose to our life. We know that our gifts and our talents and our ability to make a difference matters. Yes, one person can do it. Yes, one person can be a catalyst of change. Yes, one person, being you, can set out on a path, even today, and do something that will change the course of history. But it all starts with a choice and a mindset to go out there and do it, to be about your business of your life, to be about the business of your neighborhood, your community, what's around you. Because it's like in The Color Purple. One sister got to go to school and one sister didn't. But the sister who went to school, the lessons that she learned there, she brought home to her sister who could not go to school. So if you're the one who's able to go out and learn something new, bring that back to your household, your community, your neighborhood, your group, your civic organization, and educate the masses, because you are making a difference. You are making a footprint. You are giving someone the gift of knowledge that you've obtained. Share what you know. Who wants to hoard knowledge? It's ridiculous. Share what you know so we can all come up together and know we may not all get the degree or the accolades, but we will all have the knowledge together. And it's okay to have a different opinion, but just make sure your opinion is grounded in some sort of truth about the situation. A lot of us have these false memories in our head, and we have idealations and fantasies that we've conjured up, but that's not the reality. And so we have to start unraveling the falsehoods and speaking to people who know the truth so we can unravel what the heck truth is so that we can move forward and walk in that truth. And then you can make decisions saying, hey, this is what I want my family to look like. This is the type of community I want to have. So am I going to relocate or am I going to make the change here? Oh, my gosh, this is the type of business I want to start. Is this the neighborhood where I'll have customers and clientele, or do I need to relocate? Or do I need to make what type of change? Okay, I need to go get a degree in this, or I need to be surrounded by this. I need to join this organization. Oh, this is what a charter school means. Oh, this is what public school is. Which one's really best for my children? Which one would give them the best springboard into life? Oh, this is what it means to be a wife. Oh, it's not just this right here. It's this whole other aspect, too. Oh, well, I'm going to need some classes. I'm going to need some support in that. Or this is what a provider. Oh, my gosh, I didn't realize I was this, but now I see I can change that. And that's just it. Every day that you wake up with breath in your body is a day that you have the ability to change something that is, yeah, something in your life to be more than what you were yesterday, to be greater than you were the day before. Every day is an opportunity for something. You can learn something new, you can do something different, and you can make changes. Turn your dash to an exclamation mark. Let the world know that you are alive, you are living, and you are willing to do what you need to do to make the difference in the world. Because we need you. We need you right now for such a time as this, because if it was not meant to be, you would not be alive. Okay? All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to where the show is going and where what direction we're undertaking. And I hope it really sunk in. You guys have a great, terrific, wonderful Tuesday. And guess what? I'll be back tomorrow. Right. We're here 3 days a week now, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, live at 7 a.m. to give you the inspiration you need to reach your aspirations, your goals, your dreams, and desires. I'm Rev J, and as always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you both now and forevermore. Y'all have a great one. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. All right. Bye-bye.